accession number 8490, reel 4.
What were we talking about?
Were you the only woman with children?
No, I think there were a couple others with children. One was a widow, a war widow. I mean, her husband, I think, was killed in the Air Force. But I never remember whether she had to go and look after the child or whether she had somebody looking after it. And another one had an older boy who was away at boarding school. But I don't remember any others. They didn't appear to have this having to go to let their nanny off, as I had to do, so that I missed out on quite a lot of the social life because of it, really. But I preferred to go and look after my children, after all.
What was the official attitude towards you having children? Was it understanding?
I don't think they knew at first, but afterwards it was, yes. Very much, very helpful, because they, as I say, they found this place for the children down in Devon, and when I hadn't got any help. That might be interesting, that my girl was called up because she was 17, and when I said that this would mean I'd have to give up my job, they said, oh, well, women doctors have had to do the same. Doesn't that seem short-sighted on the part of the authorities?
They suggested that you gave up...
In other words, it wasn't a job, as you were saying before, that you didn't have to be called up because you were doing a useful job. Looking after children was not considered to be that sort of a job, even though, you know, the doctor or myself would have had to give up our job to look after. Very short-sighted, I thought. So then our operations officer told me about this place in Devon where I could leave them for 6 weeks, which is what we did. And then when I got somebody, I got a girl over from Ireland who weren't called up, the girls in Southern Ireland, and somebody was recommended this girl, came over from Ireland, and I was able to bring them back again. But it was really very short-sighted, I thought. Still, she was...
So you didn't have to leave?
No, no, I didn't. I had to leave later because I was having a baby quite unexpectedly and unwantedly, although he doesn't like to be told. He made me leave because they didn't want to have... Well, as they put it, you weren't allowed to carry passengers, civilian passengers. They couldn't say that you were ill because you weren't. They had to make some excuse, so that was that. So I was very sad about that, but on the whole, probably it was a good thing because we were able to get a home for the children, which we couldn't have done after the war very easily. It was much more difficult to find a house then.
Did you tell the service that you were expecting a baby?
No, they found out, unfortunately. They just found out somebody told them that I was feeling a bit ill and that I had said, you know, there was morning sickness. So I was sent home to find out. And, of course, that was the end.
Were you allowed to fly again?
No. So that was it. And I could have gone on, really, for quite some time if that hadn't happened. I would have told them, obviously, in the end. You know, but there we are.
Were you tempted to go back?
I was hoping to go back, yes, but by that time, by the time I could have gone, they didn't need any more pilots. You know, the war was coming to an end, and they didn't need any. I think they had taken in a few WAFs by then, too, trained them from Aberdeenshire, and they didn't need any extra. And in fact, they were really sort of needing to cut down on pilots. He's come, is it going to be too late? Sorry. It was coming to an end, so they didn't really need any more pilots by that time.
But you subsequently joined the reserve.
Well, as soon as the reserve started off again after the war, by which time I had two more children, 1948 or something, or 40, I can't remember. But as soon as it opened again, my husband and I both rejoined it, and then we were doing reserve training. Once a week we'd do some flying, and we had a fortnight's flying every year with the reserve, rather like the territorials do. So my husband would get an extra. He'd gone back to the bank by then. And he'd get an extra fortnight for our flying. So we used to go and do it together, which was lovely. And just to go back to flying again was wonderful, really.
Is that why you joined
it? Well, to be quite honest, I suppose it was. But I mean, I was prepared. They took us on because they thought there might be another war, and they wanted to have the ferry pilots under the Air Force. They wanted them to be under the Air Force rules, not to have a civilian course again. And, well, we did that for a few years, and then one of my friends, Jean Bird, managed to persuade them to let her do a proper wings course to get the RAF pilot's wings, because we were allowed to fly on Harvards, which were service aeroplanes. We were allowed to do a course, training on Harvards. So when she went to do hers, she persuaded them to let her get her wings. After which, they made a big fuss of her on the television and one thing and another. And my husband said, well, why can't you get yours? And I said, well, how can I, you know, because by that time I had no help at home. And I said, I can't possibly do that. He said, yes, you can, write and say so. So I wrote. They said, there's no possibility of doing it. They said, this was just a one-off and so on. So he was very cross about that and persuading me to write again. In the meantime, I think some of the other girls were also, you know, writing. And suddenly they decided that they would let us do it, or they let me do it. So I went up on a course at Feltwell with a lot of University Air Squadron students. And we were flying Harvards, which I hadn't flown since the war, doing the proper wings course, in fact, the same as all that I had to do, including all the lectures, all the things which I'd hardly done ever at all, night flying, and I'd never done formation flying, and aerobatics, and instrument flying, and all the rest of it. So it was quite hard, especially, you know, at my age, you see, because I was just on 40, and they were also young, but it was great fun. And the other girls, Joan and Freydis and Jackie, who also got the chance before they suddenly clamped down and the whole reserve shut down, I think they also really thoroughly enjoyed doing it. And apart from the high-ups at the in the Air Force, they were really sort of rather anti having me there. But all the others were extremely nice and treated me just like the rest. So that the course was exactly the same.
How long did the course last?
6 weeks. I think the boys had 8 weeks because they sent me there after they'd already done a fortnight. And
were you taken in late?
Yes, and I think that was part of their idea that therefore I wouldn't get it. I don't think they were very pleased, really. Not the powers that be.
Did you find it hard catching up?
Well, I had an advantage over the boys in that I'd done a lot of this pilot navigation, so that was an advantage. I found it hard in the sense that I suppose as you get older you get more responsible, you know. And I used to feel, when I was doing this formation flying, I used to think, you know, what on earth am I doing here? Sort of, it was really hard concentration, formation flying. And these boys used to come very close, because they were all very young and sort of, you know, skittish. I suppose actually it was hard. I lost about a stone, but it was worth it.
Would you have to lead the formation?
Sometimes, no. Sometimes you had to, and then you had to be very, very careful to signal which way you were going and not get lost, which I thought I was at one time, and they were all, because you just watch the person. If you're not leading, your eye is on the person on your left or your right, and you daren't take your eyes off their wingtip for a second because you're absolutely concentrating on, you know, you have your hand on the throttle, just like this, and really, it. When I watch those red arrows, I think, oh my God, how do they do it?
How does the leader tell the rest what to do?
Well, he can talk on the RT in the Air Force, of course. Or you are taught certain hand signals that you do. You do that when you're going to the left, or you do that when you're going to the right.
Wave your hand across.
Wave your hand across, yes. But mostly I think it's on the RT.
Did you have to learn Morse?
You had to learn Morse, because for night flying, they, you know, they things. And also, we had to do a course. One of our courses was the Morse, but I was a girl guide at school and had learnt it. And you don't really forget. And so that was helpful. You had to be able to transmit at a certain speed and read it at a certain speed, quite a slow speed, really. But that was quite useful. And also, you see, the beacons are all in Morse at night. You know, they're doing flashing beacons so that you know where they are. They're giving off different letters and things. So that was something else. And we had to do instruments. We had lectures on instruments, on engines, on RF law and quite a number of meteorology, of course. Quite a lot of lectures they had. And pilot navigation. Now, that was one thing I was quite good at. Most of the others were quite hard, I think.
Did you take exams?
Yes, we did. You had to get so much percent in them all. And then they were posted up on the board. I usually came sort of, mind you, these were all bright boys from universities. And I usually came about in the middle. So it wasn't too bad, was it? Really, considering.
How did the boys react to you being there? Were you the only woman on the course?
Yes, and about twice their age. And they were very, very nice. They just really did treat me like one of them. Very nice.
What did getting your wings actually mean?
Well, it meant that once you got them, you were then sent on, the boys were sent on, to doing more advanced training on actually operational. In other words, you'd learnt how to, whatever you were going to be, if you were going to be a fighter, you had to learn all the things that they would have to learn. Go into bombers or something. You'd go on, and in fact, they went on to jets, you see, which I never had the chance to do. But that was the idea for them, or for anybody in the Air Force, really. It's sort of the beginning. It's only the beginning. Go on from there.
Why did you not have the chance to go into the jets?
Well, I think because their whole thing was packed up so soon afterwards, really.
So these boys were not in the reserve?
Well, they were, really, because they were in the University Air Squadron reserve. But I had various letters from them when they went on to jets telling me how they were getting on.
How were you assessed at the end?
As a fighter pilot. I don't know why. I don't think I'd have had the nerve to be one. Not then, anyway.
Did you consider that they might ask you to train to be a fighter?
No, they didn't give me any idea. All they said to me was, we're going to treat you just as if you were a man and tell you what we're going to assess you at. And that's what they did. But I don't think that they promised anything. We were only in the Air Force to do ferrying or something like that. But I think the point was that my husband made, that was that if we were then going to be in a position of authority with younger women coming in, it would look pretty feeble if we hadn't got any wings, you see, any Air Force wings.
Why do you think the powers that be didn't want women to have wings?
Well, I think they didn't want women to think they could go on to operational flying. Because it's not the policy of this country to have women actually fighting. Not in England, anyway. They use them in every other capacity, obviously. But it wasn't, and it still isn't, I don't think, the policy to ever have them actually operational, as it is in other places, Russia, America, and everywhere, isn't it?
Were you trained on this course to do fighting?
No. Just to do all those things, as I say, formation flying, aerobatics. In other words, I imagine that you then have the authority to know what you were talking about.
You said the press made quite a lot of fuss about Jean Bird.
Yes.
Yes,
they did.
When you got yours?
Well, they did. I don't know who told them or anything, but I did have one or two pictures taken. One of me feeding the children, I remember. Four children, because I think they thought that was rather funny, really. More than getting the wings, but just having all these children. Well, they did, for a time. You know, they always do, don't they? Sort of, they've got nothing else to put in the paper. They have to find something to put in.
But after the five of you got your wings, they stopped.
Well, the whole reserve packed up. I think that there was no longer the same urgency. They didn't think. I think the Cold War was more or less the end.
When was this?
No, it packed up. I got my wings at the end of 1953, and it packed up in early 1954.
And were you able to continue flying after
that? Well, we couldn't afford it, unfortunately. Because after that, we rent, instead of being paid to do it, we had to pay for it, and we were really feeling rather poor by that time. So it was very sad. We both had to give it up, which was very sad, because I loved flying, and so did my husband.